unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
In Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, Jesus gave that timeless parable of the wheat and the tares. By the time he gave this parable, he had been engaged in his earthly ministry for quite some time. And there were some who were receiving the things that he was having to say, and there were others who were rejecting what he had to say, and then there were some who were trying to sit on the sidelines and not make a decision. And as Jesus was doing this, a major battle was taking place behind the scenes. Jesus wanted every soul with which he came into contact. I believe we would be amazed to know just how good he wants our lives to be. He came so that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. He wants us to have a good life. And every person that he taught and every person who reads what he taught in the New Testament, he hopes that that teaching will bring about a blessed life. I heard about a water bearer in India. He had two large pots, and each one hung on opposite ends of a pole that he carried across his neck. One pot had a crack in it. The other was perfect and always delivered a full pot of water at the end of the long walk. The crack pot arrived only half full each time. And for 2 years, the bearer delivered 1.5 pots of water to the master's house every day. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, and the cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfection, and miserable that it was only able to accomplish half of what it had been made to do. And after 2 years of what looked to be bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. It said, "I am ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why? What are you ashamed of?" asked the water bearer. "I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half of my load because of this crack in my side that allows water to leak out on the way back to the master's house. Because of my flaws, you've had to do all of this work and you don't get the full value from your effort." The water bearer said nothing to the old cracked pot. Except, seeming to change the subject, he replied, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." And as they went up the hill, that pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wild flowers on the path side. This cheered the pot some. And at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because, as always, it had leaked out half of its load and apologized again. The bearer replied, "Did you notice that there were only flowers on your side of the path and not on the other side? That's because I have always known about your flaw and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. And for 2 years, I've been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house." We all have our own unique flaws. We know it. Our Lord knows it. There's no reason to try to hide it. It's obvious to him. But if we will allow him, the Lord will use our lives to grace his Father's table and use us to create something beautiful and wonderful in this life. But you know what? Satan also knows this. And just like Jesus, he wants every soul too. He knows he can never win before God. And he can only hurt God if he can lure us away from God. That's what he tries to do. I believe we would be equally amazed to know how far Satan will go to make our lives miserable. And the question is, who will win? Is it going to be the Lord, or is it going to be Satan? The truth of the matter is that we must make that decision by how we react to Jesus. The deeper we go in our relationship with him, the more he will fill our lives with good things. The further we slip away and fall into Satan's camp, the more miserable our lives will become. We must make the choice that will determine our final destination. To illustrate this struggle between good and evil, between the Lord and Satan, Jesus gave us this great parable of the wheat and the tares. The parable goes like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Do you want us to go then and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Later on, Jesus would explain this parable to his disciples. Many in the crowd seemingly didn't really care about what the meaning of this parable was. They either rejected it or just remained neutral. But the disciples wanted to know what it meant. They wanted to know how it applied to life. And I hope and pray that you have that same thirst this morning to understand this parable and to be able to put it into application in your life. And if you would, then listen to Jesus as he explains what he means in this story. Matthew 13 and verse 36. "He answered and said unto them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I want us to take a few moments here this morning and break down each one of the elements of this parable and think about how it applies to our lives today. First of all, the Bible says that in the parable, the farmer went out to sow. He sowed. This phrase stands out to me a little bit from the parable of the sower. In that parable, the sower goes out and it's as though he's simply taking handfuls of seed and just scattering it to the wind and letting it fall wherever it may fall. But the way that the word is used in this parable is slightly different. Here it speaks of one who is deliberately planting his seed in a certain place and a certain way. Much like farmers today who have a field, and in this field they want wheat, maybe in this field they want corn, maybe in this field they want soybeans. And that may be based off of the environmental condition. It may be based off of what they planted there last year and want to plant there this year. What would be better based off of the nature of the soil and all of that kind of thing. They carefully measure what would grow best here, and then they deliberately plant that in that way at a particular time of the year. A lot of thought goes into that. A lot of work goes into that. A lot of preparation goes into that. And that's what I get from the sense of this word as it's used in this explanation. And the purpose of that is to remind us of the thoughtfulness, the effort, and the sacrifice that Christ has made to create a good life for us. Sin has ruined the good life that we could have here on this earth. And as Christ looked down from heaven, he could have left us to have to deal with the consequences of that all alone. He didn't have to have sympathy upon us, but he did have sympathy. He did have compassion, and he did leave heaven to come and to rescue us and to give us an opportunity to begin again, to have that good life that we all want, and that he wants for us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends, John 15:13. That's exactly what Jesus has done because of the great love that he has for us and because he considers us to be his friends. Even before God created Adam and Eve, he had thought out and planned how he could bring about the salvation of man. And as soon as Eve took that first bite of fruit in that garden, God set out to accomplish that plan. He made a promise to Abraham, and over hundreds of years he kept that promise. He took care of his people. There were prophecies upon prophecies until finally, in the fullness of time, Christ came into this world, lived his life, and went to the cross so that we might have an abundant life. This is all that he went through, to sow that seed for us. And it is a good seed, the parable says. The sower plants good seed because he wants to fill our lives with good things. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ, according to Ephesians 1:3. Christ wants us to know the blessings of peace, what it is to have peace in your heart, to not be bombarded by worry and anxiety and hatefulness. He would have us to know the blessing of joy, to even in hard and painful days have a hope and an optimism that gives you strength and comfort. He would have us to know the blessing of love, of hope, a friendship. In the parable, the sower sowed the seed for something that would make bread. It could be cooked to make food, to fill the bellies of a family, to bring about their survival. Something that could be sold to provide money that would be necessary for other supplies that the family would need, something that was productive, something that would bless the family. This is what God wants to sow in our lives. He wants it to be good. And those who are identified by the good seed are those who are children of his kingdom, the individuals who love the Lord, those who are seeking to follow his life, to be like him in all the ways that they can be, and obey his teachings. Those who are children of his kingdom are those who have determined to make sure that Jesus is in the driver's seat of their lives. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, "Whoever would save his life." Now, what he means here is someone, in this context, someone who wants to save his life is someone who has said, "I'm going to live my life however I want to live it. Whatever I want to say, that's what I'm going to say. Whatever I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I want to think, that's what I'm going to think. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care how what I do affects anyone else. It's me and it's my way or it's the highway, and that's all there is to it." That's the one who wants to save his life. But Jesus said that the one who would save his life will lose it. In other words, his life will be a miserable life. It will be a lonely life. It will be a hateful life, a bitter life, a miserable life in every way that it can be. He who would save his life will lose it. But Jesus said, whoever loses his life, in other words, the one who takes his life and hands it over to Christ, surrendering to him and saying, "I will let Christ live through me as I obey his teachings." The one who loses his life, Jesus says, for my sake, will find it. He will live a life full of peace and hope and love and joy. And then when this life is over, he will have eternal life in the presence of God Almighty. That is the seed that Christ wishes to sow for us. And if we will surrender to him and obey his teachings, then that is exactly the fruit that will be produced in our lives. The good seed. What is the seed that must be planted in our hearts in order to have this good life that we desire? Christ planted this seed by living a life that we can all follow. His life is the seed that produces a good life. And as we strive to learn more about him and imitate what we see, we can be assured that we will live the best life that we are capable of living and avoid so many of the pitfalls that sin creates in this life. But also, Christ planted this seed by teaching the truth that we can trust as a map that will get us from here to there. Christ has already made that journey from earth to heaven, and we can trust that he can lead us there as well. "I am the way," he said, "the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In this parable, Jesus identifies the one who was sowing this seed as the Son of Man. It's interesting that he chose the phrase Son of Man here. There are lots of ways we refer to him: Jesus, Christ, Lord, Son of God, but here, Son of Man. This phrase reminds us of the 33 years that he lived here upon earth. During this time, he was a human in every sense of the term. He had to live among men in order to become a sacrifice that would satisfy the justice of God. The Son of God volunteered to become the Son of Man because he values our lives. This is the commitment that he has toward creating this good life for us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. There's a Russian fable about a master and a servant who went on a journey, and before they reached their destination, they were caught in a blizzard, and they lost their direction. When they were found, the master was frozen to death, face down in the snow. When they lifted him, they found the servant cold, sick, but alive. The master had voluntarily placed himself on top of the servant so that the servant could live. Jesus did the same for us. He put himself in harm's way so that we can have the good life. The field in this parable represents the world. The world is the sphere where he chooses to do his work, and our lives are an acre in that field. And it's his field. This is a very personal thing for him. Every acre is valuable to him. Every acre is important to him, and he takes an interest. He is interested in your life and concerned about your well-being. And he wishes to sow this good seed in your life right here, right now. Listen to him when he says to you, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11. But also in this parable, there is an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. He works in the same field as the farmer, purposefully seeking to sow his own brand of seed, and he will exert himself in his mission to sow seeds of poisonous weeds. His mission is to ruin the good life that God intends for all of us. Sin ruins the life that God wants for us. It destroys our thoughts. It destroys our potential. It destroys us in every way that we can be. Satan despises God, and we are his only avenue to inflict pain upon the heart of God. He doesn't care what happens to us. His work is only for spite. He does his best work while men sleep, just like in this parable. When they're not looking, when they're not paying attention, that's when he will have his greatest effect. He doesn't sow good seed. He doesn't care whether or not the people have bread, whether or not they have food, whether or not they have their needs supplied. That doesn't mean anything to him. He sows tares. The tare, or the bearded darnel, is a poisonous weed. It looks exactly like wheat when it first begins to grow, and it's not until sometime after that, when it becomes fully mature, that it becomes evident the difference between the wheat and the tare. Of course, by that time, the field is full of tares. It represents the toxic way of life that is lived when following Satan, a life of fear, a life of sorrow, pain, hatefulness, and hopelessness. The servants come to the master and they say, "How did this happen?" We all struggle to comprehend how so much evil and suffering can exist in a world that God created. But we need to know that God never wanted this for his children. Just like it says in the parable, it is an enemy that hath done this. And those tares represent the children of the wicked one, a life that is the opposite of the good life, a life that is lustful, greedy, proud, hateful, and deceitful. A life which is miserable. We've all been there at one time or another. But that's what makes the next aspect of this parable so comforting. The master said regarding the wheat and the tares, "Let them both grow together." The servants were eager to gather the tares right away and burn them. But if they did that, they would run the risk of damaging the wheat in the process. So the master decided to be patient and wait until the time of harvest. And this reminds us of the patience and the mercy of the Lord. Even we are sometimes too eager and harsh to condemn others. It's easy to find flaws in each other and judge one another and condemn one another, but it doesn't do really any good. James and John were eager to call for fire to come down upon Samaria in Luke 9:54. But if they had, Philip would not have been able to go and preach the gospel there and baptize those precious souls into Christ in Acts chapter 8. We must be careful not to rush into judgment, because now is not the time for judgment. That time will come, but that time is not now. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, John 3:17. Fortunately for us, God is patient to let us grow so that we can have a chance to produce fruit. You see, in reality, the tares can change. In a field, I know that can't happen. The seed can't change once it's been planted. But that's where the parable stops and real life begins. In real life, I may have at one time been a tare, but I can be changed into the good seed if I'm willing to change my life. If I'm willing to turn away from the works of the flesh and to live after the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm willing to give my life in obedience and service to God, I can be transformed. That's why God lets them grow. He lets them grow until the time of the harvest. And then it will be decided what must happen. We're living on this side of the time of harvest now. And that means that we need to be making these decisions now. Once death comes, or once Christ's coming comes and the judgment occurs, it will be too late then. And we will either be among the wheat or among the tares, and then our eternal destiny will be decided, and there's nothing we can do. But now we can change, and if we will change, everything changes. In the parable, there came a time of harvest. And that time of harvest represents the end of the age, the end of life on this earth. But it's not the end of all life. We will not cease to exist. When Christ comes, there will be a judgment. There will be a time of separation. At that time, God's patience will have been exhausted, and the door of opportunity will have been closed. And there's no way to predict when that time will occur. None of us know when the hour of our death will be. None of us know when Christ will come again. We need to make preparation now. And why choose to spend one more day with Satan in the driver's seat? We could be living the life that God intended for us. The wicked will be gathered out of his kingdom. They will be burned in the fire. This is one of those passages that reminds us of the reality of hell. A sinful life is a miserable life now, and it leads to an eternity of misery. It goes from bad to worse. A place of fire, a place of pain and agony from which there is no relief, a place of wailing, a place of sorrow from which there is no rest, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of which there is suffering with no end. But for the righteous, there will be joy, there will be glory, there will be wonder and beauty. Oh, what a time that will be. He who hath ears, let him hear. Let him make his choice, and let him make it firm. Will we open our hearts to receive him? Will we imitate his life and obey his teachings? If we do, he will produce in us a good life, greater than our minds can even imagine, an eternal life in the future. Friend, if there's any way that we can help you to make this decision, we urge you, please contact us today.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
Is a lamp unto my feet and a light.